I'll ask you, if you will, to turn with me tonight to Psalm 146. Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. This is not the first psalm in which we find the psalmist speaking to his soul, exhorting his soul to praise the Lord. Remember in Psalm 103, he said, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. This reminds us that all of us have a responsibility to speak to our soul. When we grow lethargic and somewhat cold in heart, we have a responsibility to speak to our souls, to stir up our souls, to stir up the gift that is within us as God's children. The Apostle Paul said, For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we should certainly pray and ask the Lord to work in us, to work in us. Give us the will and the doing of praising and blessing Him. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, and none of us know how long that shall be, the Scripture tells us that our life is like a shadow. It's like the vapor that appears in the early morning and then by noon is vanished away. Our life in this world is so short, so brief. Shouldn't we spend our days praising the Lord? Those of us who know Him, those of us to whom He has revealed Himself and revealed the gospel to us. David said, While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. God's people are a singing people. God's people love to sing His praises. And singing is a special part of our worship services. I think in our country now, in this pandemic, when the civil rulers are laying down certain guidelines and rules for those who come together to worship the Lord. One pastor told me that in his state, the governor has decreed that they shouldn't even sing in their services. Well, God's people are a worshiping people, a praising people, a singing people, and we are to sing and make melody in our hearts unto the Lord. David said, I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. We don't have to sing publicly only. We do come together to worship the Lord. Singing is a very important part of our worship service. I think of Elisha when he was called upon to prophesy. He called for a minstrel to come and play upon an instrument of music. And evidently, God spoke to him while he was listening to that music. Music is a very important part of our worship service. I'm so thankful for the ones here who lead the singing, who play the instruments, and for all of us who are enabled to sing and praise the Lord. Put not your trust in princes. David was a prince. He was a king. And yet, He knew himself. And so he admonishes everyone, put not your trust in princes. They may be lifted up. They may have a high office. They may be rulers over men. But remember this, they're just like every other man. His breath goeth forth, and he returneth to the earth. And in that very day, his thoughts perish. Men have had all kinds of thoughts about how we must approach unto God. But my friends, the thoughts of men are foolishness. We need the Word of God, don't we? The Scriptures, the written Word of God to teach us about God. Because I don't care how great a man may be in this world, how great he may be lifted up as a king, as a prince, as a preacher, whoever, whatever. The day he dies, his breath goeth forth from him, and all the thoughts are gone as well. And if those thoughts are not thoughts based upon the Word of God, nothing but foolishness. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. He opens his hand and feeds all his creatures. He giveth food to the hungry. You say, well, the Lord doesn't feed me. Who do you think feeds you? Who do you think provides the food that's upon your table? If God did not send the showers, the rain, the sunshine, it wouldn't take long before there would be no food on your table. Yes, God feeds the hungry. Physical hunger, but more importantly, spiritual hunger. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church of the firstborn, Zion. The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion. You remember Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy God, O Zion, shall reign forever unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. This psalm, as we read through it, we recognize it celebrates and speaks to us of many wonderful and great truths. And it would be impossible in one message to deal with all of them, but I've chosen two truths tonight from this psalm that I want us to think about. I want us to think about the happy man and the free man. The happy man. You know, the book of Psalms actually begins declaring, blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Men seek after happiness, and very few people, in fact, none but those who know God as their Savior, as their Lord tonight, would acknowledge what the psalmist here tells us about the happy man, the man who is happy, who is blessed. He is described in verse 5 in two ways. Notice in verse 5, happy, blessed is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. The happy man here is described two ways. He is the man who has the God of Jacob as his help. I want us to think about that term for just a moment, the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob is God who is the creator of heaven and earth. We see that in the next verse, verse 6. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. The God of Jacob is a creator of all things, reminding us, at least it should, that there's nothing impossible for God. Just as Austin began the service reading from Jonah and pointing out to us that God prepared that great fish. Do we believe that Jonah was in the belly of that fish? Absolutely. One man said, if the scripture said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I would believe that. Amen. I believe God's word. Don't you? I'm so thankful for his word. And yes, God of Jacob is the God who is the creator of all things. And all men, without question, all men are without excuse as we see God's creation, as we live in God's creation and see the heavens which declare the glory of God, the firmament which showeth forth his handiwork. But not every man, listen, not every man who acknowledges God as the creator of all things is happy. We know that so. There are those who would, yes, they would say, I believe God created everything, that all things are made by him. But they're not necessarily happy. Happy is the man who has the God of Jacob as his help. As his help. James in his epistle said, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. It's good. It's right. And it's only logical to believe and to know there's only one God. There can only be one God. There can only be one omnipotent, one omniscient, one omnipresent being. There's not room for another God. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. But listen, James said, the devils believe and tremble. They tremble, but they don't know God as Lord and Savior. God provided no Savior for them. God did not take upon him the nature of angels, but he took upon him the nature of man, of Abraham, that he might be our Redeemer, might be our Savior, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, our near kinsman. The second thing, the God of Jacob is God of everlasting love. God declared, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. God's eternal love is the source and the spring of every blessing of grace. Have you ever visited a place where there's a spring, the water just comes bubbling up out of the water, out of the ground? You know, that always amazes me. I don't know why, but it does. We were several years ago up in South Dakota, and we were eating at an outside cafe, and across the street there was a pipe that came out of the mountain, out of the hill, across the street there, and it was just flowing with water. And it was being fed by a spring. And people thought there was some healing power in that water, evidently. Over the years, people have wanted to drink that water and bathe in that water. But the source, the spring of every blessing of grace is the love of God. His everlasting love for His people. Jacob have I loved. The God of Jacob is a God of everlasting love. And I know we live in a day and a time when religion would tell everyone God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. If that were true, how could the words in John chapter 13 be true? When John said, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. If God's love for everyone, every individual that is born in this world is the same, if he loved Judas the same way he loved Peter, and Judas went to hell, Peter went to heaven, as one preacher said, then what difference does the love of God make? No, God's love is eternal. It's special. Jacob have I loved. The God of Jacob is God of distinguishing grace. For the scripture says, for the children being not yet born. Now listen, neither Jacob and Esau, the children being not yet born in the same womb, neither having done good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Grace does not run through our blood, does it? Father does not pass grace down to his children. We read of several in the scriptures who were faithful men of God, and yet their sons were rebels, hated God. Grace doesn't run through inheritance. It comes from God Almighty, and he will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy, and he will harden whom he hardens. God of Jacob. Happy is the man who has the God of Jacob as his help. The God of Jacob is the God of distinguishing grace. And the God of Jacob is the God of the everlasting covenant. I want you to turn back with me to Genesis chapter 28 just a moment. And here is Jacob in this passage of Scripture we're going to read. Genesis chapter 28. And he's running. He's running because he has deceived his father, Isaac. And he has supplanted his brother, Esau. And he's running, no doubt fearful for his life. Verse 10, we read, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. Now notice, and in thee and in thy seed, Christ, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The God of Jacob is the God of the everlasting covenant. And Jacob was included in that covenant. The covenant of grace that God made first with Abraham and then to Isaac and then to Jacob. The God of Jacob, here's another thing. The God of Jacob is God who hath laid help upon one that is mighty. Look with me in Psalm 89. In this psalm, take the time someday to read through it and read the covenant here that God made with David and his son, his greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this 89th Psalm, verse 19, God says, "Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people." This speaks of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon whom God laid help. Help for sinners. Help for needy sinners. Help for chosen sinners. This man in our text tonight, I believe was David, when he said, "Happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help." He had come to realize he needed help. He needed help with his sins. My sins. Oh, this burden of sin. What can I do with it? What shall I do with it? It weighs me down. It will bring me down to hell. I need help. Where will I find help? God hath laid help upon one that's mighty, upon his Son, Jesus Christ. This man had come to realize he needed help in being reconciled unto God. Like you said a moment ago, David, when a person is brought like Jonah in that darkness and realize if he's going to be saved, God's going to have to do it. He can't do it. I need help. And I don't need just a little help. I need help from one who is mighty. Mighty to save. I need help to guide me as we go through this world, all the bypaths and the diversions that we come across. Vanity Fair, this world. I need someone to guide me. The God of Jacob is he who laid help upon one that is mighty. Jesus, what a Savior. What a Savior. I need one to guide me. I need one to keep me. I need one to keep me. Every day, we need God's keeping grace. When you read through the book of Judges, you see this scene over and over and over again. The people fall into idolatry. They see their neighbors around them, whom God had told to extinguish, not only around them, but among them. And so they begin to lust after the false gods, and before long they are worshiping the false gods, and then next they are in captivity. And God raises up a Savior, raises up a judge. And all of those judges are pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no question about that. But what we see here is this, or at least we should see, if God doesn't keep us, we'll do the same thing that the Israelites did. We read through those verses, those chapters, and we're amazed. How could they do that? How could they not do that if the Lord doesn't keep us? I need one who is mighty to guide me, to keep me, and I need one who is mighty to receive me into everlasting glory. The God of Jacob is God who promised to be with all of his Jacobs. Look with me in Isaiah 43. Happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob as his help. In Isaiah 43, very familiar passage, I know, for all of us. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, and yes, you will pass through the water. You will in this world have trials and struggles and temptations. Our Lord told His disciples this the night before He went to the cross, didn't He? In the world you shall have tribulation. And the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts encouraged those early and young Christian believers that they must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Somehow we've come to the place, it seems to me, in this country that most professing believers think that this world is a friend to grace. That we're not going to experience tribulations. We're not going to experience troubles and problems in this world. Well, that's not so. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. You've seen that statement by Martin Luther, I'm sure, many times. When he said, smite, Lord, my sins are forgiven. What did he mean? He meant my sins are forgiven. Now, Lord, smite me. Nothing can harm me now. Smite. You've forgiven my sins. Everything else is going to be okay. No matter how deep the waters are, no matter how hot the fire is. Smite, Lord. Thou hast forgiven my sins. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Those three Hebrew men in Babylon, when Nebuchadnezzar, that wicked king, cast them into that furnace of fire, the scripture says they came out, there wasn't even the smell of fire on them. Their head coverings were not even singed. Why was it? Because as Nebuchadnezzar asked his men, didn't we throw three men into the furnace? Yeah. I see four there. I see four. And one is like unto the Son of God. When thou goest through the waters and walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. And the Lord gave a whole lot more for you than these three nations that are named here. He gave His only begotten Son. Here is the happy man, he who has the God of Jacob for his help. The psalmist in another place said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The second way this man is described in this verse, back in our text, Psalm 146 and verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. What about you tonight? Have you come to recognize you need help? You need a mediator? You need a high priest? You need a sacrifice? You need a Savior. Have you been brought to know that and realize that? Happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help. The second way this happy man is described is the happy man has hope in the Lord his God. The word hope obviously has changed its meaning over the years for most people. The word hope, as it is used in the scriptures, we would better understand by the word expectation. His expectation, whose expectation is in the Lord his God. Because the word hope brings the thought of uncertainty. I just hope it's so. I just trust it so. I just believe it so. And maybe have no foundation at all for hope or expectation. There was a time before he was called and brought to know the Lord Jesus Christ when no doubt his expectation was in this world, like most men. What the world could give him, what the world promised him. But he learned, this man, the psalmist, he learned what Solomon later would write. His son would later write, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." All that the world has to offer is vanity. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Most of you know that my wife and I and our children lived in Mexico for 10 years. 9 of those years we were in Yucatan, Mexico. And I encourage all of us to continue to pray for Brother Groover as he goes through the sickness that the Lord has brought upon him. But I wanted to mention the fact that while we were there, we would have visitors from time to time come from the States, pastors and others, members of churches. And it never failed. We always went, carried them out to the ruins at Chichen Itza. And I don't think that I ever visited them without this scripture coming into my mind. It's found in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world. As we saw those pyramids and observatory and ball court and all of those things that those Mayan Indians had labored to build. And that was a feat, no doubt a great feat. Without bulldozers and backhoes and cranes and just physical labor, cutting those stones and building those buildings there. And yet in the early 1900s, it was all grown over. It was a jungle area. And an American ambassador, I believe it is the man who found that place. And now it's a great tourist attraction. People come from Europe, come from the U.S. and Canada to visit there. But at one time, it was a metropolis, a great thriving place. No doubt how many hundreds of thousands of Mayan Indians lived there and worked there and served someone, the high priest, they believe, whoever he was. And they worshiped various gods, the wind god, the rain god, all kinds of gods, as most people who are ignorant of the truth do. But this scripture always came to my mind. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. All of that had passed away. It had had its days of glory, and it had all passed away. It was all gone. And that's the way it is all over the world. But notice, he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. And what is the will of the Father? That you believe on him whom he hath sent. That's the will of the Father. That you believe on him and love one another. My expectation, this happy man said, is in the Lord, my God. I'm not going to continue with the second man here, but I'll save that for another time. The free man in verse 7. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The happy man is a man who has been loosed. He's been set free from his bondage. He's been delivered. I was reading an article on redemption this past week, and that scripture in Job 33 and verse 18, let me read it to us. It says, "Then he is gracious unto him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom." And I read the custom at that time was that slaves and servants, at nighttime they were put down into a pit so they couldn't escape and then brought back out the next day to do their service, to do their work. And then I thought about a man as he was probably been put down there many times and brought back out and put down there many times and brought back out. And then one night, one evening, when he was about to be put down there again, there came the word, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. And of course, God is speaking. He provided the ransom. And this man who was a slave, who was in debtor's prison, his debt has been paid by another. He couldn't pay it. Deliver him from going down to the pit. Don't you know, when a man heard those words, the joy that flooded his soul. My debt is paid. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Amen. May the Lord bless these words. We're going to sing a hymn before we're dismissed. Hymn number 329, Sitting at the Feet of Jesus, number 329.